The choir and the band this morning. The one thing about the choir is they are probably some of the most committed people here in this church, and just working with them every week, they really mean a lot to this church, and I know that their spirit up here brings worship into this room as well. If you don't know who I am, my name is Dalton Moore, and I grew up here in Gardendale, and I'm married to my beautiful wife, Lauren, who plays keys with us up here. We've been married, I guess last Friday it was for 5 months. Wow. Yeah, it's a long time. Keep praying for her. And so, and I can already hear what the talk of lunch is going to be. It's going to be, man, Jake should probably... he should preach and lead worship a little more. And then it's going to be like, Dalton, he should definitely keep leading worship. <You know? laughs> But I'm super excited this morning. And y'all should be excited because y'all have a pastor who has hair right now. Y'all got that? So, no, I'm just kidding. I love Jake, and what's really cool is there's not a lot of pastors who would be willing to give up the pulpit for a Sunday to invest in those who are younger. And so, thank you. So we've been in this sermon series called Kingdom Stuff, and we've used this same definition throughout the series from a pastor out of California named Bill Johnson. We're saying that the kingdom of God is when everything in heaven is instituted on the earth so that God's government, teaching, worship, glory, and power are manifested here on earth, and the earth looks just like heaven. The first week of this series, we talked about random acts of kingdom and how we wanted to create a culture here at Grace Point where we would listen to the Holy Spirit and we would go and act on that in the community. Whether it just be just a random person you meet, whatever the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do at that moment, we talked about just having the faith and trust to obey in that command to us. The second week we went into a talk that was called Break My Heart, and it was all about how we're asking God to give us his heart. We were asking God to give us his vision on what he sees and what the people he wants us to go after, and for us to give him our hearts and let him break them. See, the week after that, we had a one that kind of stepped on all of our toes called All Puffed Up. And you know, that's one where, you know, we talked about how we've got to forget the little things that go on in the church and the things that don't matter, the things that aren't building the kingdom and aren't bringing people to Jesus. Why are we focusing all our time and energy on those things? And then last week was royalty, really. And we talked about how Jesus claims that we too are royal and we get to take on the characteristic or that trait of God, that we get to be called royal and we get to be the priesthood. And one of the things I really... oh, not too far. Oh, no. Can we go back? Maybe. Hit the back arrow? Oh. Yeah, I think she's going back. Yeah, well, no, keep going forward. Or you're going forward. But anyways, we talked about these two things that we wanted to create in the Grace Point culture, where the first thing is to expect his presence. And we are going to come into this time where, as a community, we're not just coming in here to meet together on Sunday mornings, but we're coming in here expecting God to move and God to work in our lives. And after that, was the second thing was to create a culture of random acts of kingdom, where we were coming into church expecting God to move, and then we'd go out of this place and act on what the Holy Spirit has prompted us. And every time Jake had gone through that expect his presence, I kept thinking of this little passage out of a book called The Celebration of Discipline that we read in school, and I wanted to read this to you real quick. A striking feature of worship in the Bible is that the people gathered in what we could only call a holy expectancy. They believed they would actually hear the Kol Yahweh, the voice of God. When Moses went into the tabernacle, he knew he was entering the presence of God. The same was true of the early church. It was not surprising to them that the building in which they met shook with the power of God. It happened before. When some dropped dead and others were raised from the dead by the word of the Lord, the people knew that God was in their midst. As those early believers gathered, they were keenly aware that the veil had been ripped in two, and like Moses and Aaron, they were entering the holies of holies. No intermediaries were needed. They were coming into the awful, glorious, gracious presence of the living God. They gathered with anticipation, knowing that Christ was present among them and would teach them and touch them with his living power. When more than one or two come into public worship with a holy expectancy, it can change the atmosphere of a room. And so this morning, before we get in today's message, I just want us to take that time, because I'm guilty of it probably just as much as anybody, but we come in here and we gather and we don't come in with that expectancy. It's just another Sunday where we get to say hey to our friends and drink some coffee and talk about what happened this week. And so before we get started, I just want us to just take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to come in here and to be with us. And so if you wouldn't mind just getting into a position of receiving, whether that just be holding your hands out or maybe it's kneeling, I don't care. I don't really care. But what I want us to do is to position ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to move. And so, Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come invade this place. And we wait for you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your power. We thank you for your peace that was released in this room. A lot of us haven't taken time out of this week just to be still and to receive from you. And so, Jesus, we just come together as one, expecting you to move. Lord, would you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, one little thing in those little moments, one little thing I've been learning is the longer we wait, the more he does. And so, there's you a little something to take. So, today, we're going to talk about the keys to the kingdom. And we're going to be out of Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to go ahead and read 16 and then verses 17 through 19. Jesus responded, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed on heaven. The word of God for the people of God. And so there's a few things we're going to talk about this morning. The first is we're going to go through a few things of what the kingdom is not. And then we're going to take a look at what the keys are, and then what do they open, and then how do we get them. And so the first thing the kingdom is not, the kingdom is not these four walls. And what I mean by that is we come into here on Sunday mornings and we think, oh, this is what the kingdom looks like. People gather together, singing, talking about Jesus. And we may get a glimpse of kingdom stuff in here, but it's not the whole thing. And I hope the kingdom doesn't look like this, you know? I hope there's not drama in the kingdom. I hope there's not gossip and just dumb things that happen in the church, you know? Like, that's not going to happen in the kingdom. And so we got to get out of our minds that this is the only place kingdom stuff happens, because it's not. And what I want to really talk about is, can you get to that picture that's on there? Yeah. Does anybody recognize where this is at? Anybody? All right. Well, this is Greece. Greece. Yep. I took this picture about 2 years ago when I went to Greece and worked in a refugee camp. But this picture is on Areopagus, and it's a rock where a bunch of philosophers and people met and talked about moral issues and the law. And we take a look here in Acts chapter 17, and this is where Paul preached this from, is this rock. It says, Paul stood in the middle of Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that you are extremely religious in every respect. For as I was passing through and observing the objects of your worship, I even found an altar on which was inscribed, 'To an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship is ignorance. This I proclaim to you, that God who made the world and everything in it, he is Lord of heaven and earth. He does not live in shrines made by hands, neither is he served by human hands as though he need anything, since he himself gives everyone life and breath and all things.'" Now, I remember waking up early one morning and going to Areopagus and standing on this rock where Paul was and reading, and he's saying, God doesn't live in the things we build. And it's really cool because on this rock, it's looking straight up to the temple of Athena, Nike. And you can imagine just standing there and Paul pointing up and saying, God doesn't live in that. I've gone around this whole place and there's idols everywhere. But the God, the one true God, you can't build a temple or anything for him. He's not going to stay there. A building cannot bind him. And the same is true with the church. We can't think that the only kingdom stuff happens in here. Next, the kingdom is not your will. Yeah, that one hurt me too. And golly, I hope it's not my will either. Because I know my heart and it's ugly. You know, we pray. Well, let's go here first. In 1 John 2:17, it says, "And the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever." Thank the Lord this morning that our wills fade, but his remains forever. Amen. And there's something that we prayed even this morning, pray all the time. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And we say this all the time, that Jesus, your will be done. But all the time we get mad when our will isn't done. Right? That's not the color I wanted on these walls. That's not where I wanted that furniture. And we get mad when our will isn't done and we haven't even looked to examine what the will of the Lord is. And you know what that means? If we get mad and we pray that prayer, it means that we're making ourselves God. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And then you're saying, okay, well, my will's going to be done. And one thing that came up this morning to me, yeah, I didn't write it down till this morning, but one thing that's not on here, that the kingdom is not static. It's always moving, always changing. And we got to accept that. Jesus says, behold, or I think it's Isaiah says, behold, I am doing a new thing. I'm making rivers in the desert. And there's something, here's a little something for the church, is there's a pastor named Craig Rochelle, and something that he says all the time is, if we're going to reach people that nobody is reaching, we got to do the things that nobody's doing. And a lot of us want to keep doing the same old, same old, same old, expecting new people to come in. Well, guess what? Every other church on this road is doing the same old, same old. And the people we're trying to reach are not going to come in unless you do something different. Okay. We'll get off of that. So we learned what the kingdom is not this morning. But we really want to start talking about what the keys are. First key that we're going to talk about is the key of power. In Acts 1:8. A verse we all know very well. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And sometimes we read it, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit... When really, I think it should be, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. And you know why I think it's supposed to be pronounced like that? Because the Greek word for power there is a word called dunamin, and it's where we get our English word dynamite from. And so the power that's coming on us, it's not strength. It's not you will receive strength when the Holy Spirit comes on you to endure. No, it's you will receive power. Power like dynamite that explodes and impacts people around you. And so when we receive the Holy Spirit, we realize that we can do more. That we don't have to live on our own strength and our own power. But when Jesus says, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, he's saying, I'm giving you power too. Don't worry, the Holy Spirit is coming. I ran into this next verse, and I still don't really know what to think about it. It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And man, that hits me so hard because it's true. It doesn't matter what we come in here and talk about. It doesn't matter what we go outside of these walls and talk about. If we're not operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, then we're not doing anything. We're not doing anything for the kingdom. The kingdom's not just talking, it's power. And so we all know the saying, don't talk the talk, walk the walk. It's time for that. The older generation in this church, us younger people, we need you to walk the walk and not talk the talk. We need examples to live up to. Even Jake, me and all of these younger men in the room, we need an example. And if all we're doing is talking the talk, then what do we have to look to? If you're operating in talk and not power, what are we looking up to? And where will the church go? The next key is authority. Now, Matthew, we go back to Matthew 16:19. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. And if you're anything like me, I just sat there and looked at that, and I'm like, what does that even mean? Because if you don't know, this is kind of one of the foundation scriptures for the Catholics, where they're saying Peter kind of had all authority to forgive sin, and he was the first ever pope, and that lineage has continued on, and the pope is able to forgive sin and let people in and into heaven or keep them out of heaven. But as Protestants, we know that's not true, because we know who has the key in the end. And so what's it mean, though? Whatever you bound on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. Well, if we look back in the history, we see that Jesus was coming in and creating a revolution of what was going on. The law was about to be done away with, and something new was coming in. And what he was doing in this moment was giving his disciples authority, saying, hey, you know the truth now. And you can bind those old laws up, and they'll be bound in heaven, they'll be done away with, and the truth that you've received and the keys that you're receiving, you can loose them out, and it'll be loosed in heaven. You can share the truth with others, and I'm giving you that authority to do so. And it wasn't just his disciples that he gave that authority to. It's every one of us. You know, and to put that into real time and real life, let's look at government. And we all have the authority to tell the government what is right and what's wrong. And we can bound that in heaven, or we can loose that in heaven. The third key that we want to go to, it's called responsibility. And we look out at Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. You know, me and Lauren, we bought a house in January, and if anybody has ever bought a house, like, it's a long process. And it was like a lot of work, and it was like finally we closed, and they hand you those keys. Do you remember that feeling? And I was like, whew, it's all over. I don't have to do anything else. No more work is to be done. And I was terribly wrong. But don't we do that the same with these keys? Where it was like we get saved and we're like, oh, I'm done now. The work is over. No, you have a responsibility, just like I have a responsibility to clean the house and cut grass. Yeah, that too. Oh, gosh. But we have that responsibility. You're not done just because you got saved and you're sitting here this morning. The work is not finished. And we look at this verse, and we're like, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And then we're like, whew, thank God we have a pastor. That's his job right there. You know, why do I have to bring people to church? Isn't that the pastor's job to get people to church? You know, I think I shared this with a small group, but you know, a pastor is basically, in the Bible, it's considered a shepherd. And the shepherd goes around and makes sure his flock is okay. But the shepherd doesn't go around the field force-feeding grass into the mouths of the sheep, right? And so when you come in here and you say, I just didn't get anything out of that sermon today. That's not the pastor's fault. Did you come in and you expect his presence this week? Have you gone out and done random acts of kingdom? It's not just a pastor's responsibility to bring people into the church and to do random acts of kingdom and to feed people spiritually. It's a responsibility that we all have. Another quote that I ran into this week in a podcast was from Craig Rochelle, who's the pastor at Life Church. It says, "We are spiritual contributors, not spiritual consumers. The church does not exist for us because we are the church and we exist for the world." Yeah, I had to listen to that one a few times. You ready for the last key? Can we remember what the keys are so far? Power. Authority. And responsibility. The last key I want to talk about is access. You know, when we got our house and I got that key only opens my house. Did you know that? I couldn't go to Jake's house and open his house up. But those are our physical keys. Our spiritual keys, they're not bound to certain locks. We have access to everything we'd ever need. Because we know that the veil has been torn. We have access with the Father. And we have the Holy Spirit was given to us as a gift. And you know what? What our greatest access and our greatest key is our own stories. Human stories and testimonies can touch everybody because we all have a story. We all do this thing and try to get through this thing called life. And we have a story called the gospel. It's not really a story, it was real life. That connects with everybody. Nobody's really exempt from the gospel and say, "Oh, that doesn't really apply to my life." No, we all sin. And we all need salvation. And so we have a story. We have our own stories, and we have the story of God that is able to access and connect to any soul. So you may be asking, all right, we have these keys. We have the power, we have the authority, we have the responsibility, and we have access. But what in the world do these keys need to open? And the answer is hearts. It's all Jesus wants. He gives us His power so that others can be saved. He gives us His power so others will come to know Him. And He says that my church is going to complete that mission. And if we can just get the picture of a physical building church out of our head, it would help us a lot, that the church is just people. And we know Jesus is the chief cornerstone of that building. But hearts is what Jesus desires. It's why He went to the cross. For your heart, for my heart, for the hearts of those that we don't even know that are out here in our community that are broken. And so how do we get the keys? And I think our scripture tells us that. It's just knowing Jesus. When we go back to Matthew 16:17, it says, But he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus responded, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven." And then he goes on to say, "I'm now going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." When, you know, Peter was the first person to know who he was, truly. And the Lord said, "All right, here's the keys." And when we come to know Jesus for who he is, when it says, "For flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven." And this is where it gets tricky here in the church today, but there's two things when it comes to church and Christians. You can be a Christian who Jesus was revealed to you by the flesh. Flesh and blood, where it's like you just grew up in the church and you were told, Jesus is the way. And then you just, okay, yeah, I believe that. And you live your whole lives like that. But it's not until you really come into an interaction with the Holy Spirit and God reveals to you and you're 100% and you're all in, you're saying, okay, yes, I believe that. I know this is true. This is what I'm going to live my life on. I'm not going to be shaken from this moment and this truth. And that's when we're given the keys. Because that's when you receive the Holy Spirit. You know, one of my pet peeves is when people bash Peter. We talk about Peter so bad, don't we? That fool can't keep his mouth shut. He speaks before he thinks all the time, making dumb decisions. But golly, I like Peter. Because who did Jesus give the keys to first? Who was the fool that jumped out of the boat to go after him? There's something that Jesus must have seen in Peter to be able to say, "Here's the keys. I'm giving this to you. Take and run with it. Don't worry. There's power coming to help you with it." And I think that it was, you know, we bash that quality of Peter where he speaks before he thinks. But I think that's the trait that Jesus wanted. Because the problem now we have when it comes to evangelism is that we think before we speak. And then we get scared. Oh, what are they going to think if I say this? You know, I don't know if that's really true or not. And I don't know if I'm good enough to or qualified enough to do that. But the guy that Jesus entrusted the kingdom to and the church to, he didn't care. He didn't care what people thought of him. And our problem is that we do think, and what happens is we stay quiet, and then we don't go out, and we don't share the gospel, and we just come here and meet every Sunday morning and act like everything's okay. But there's hope. This morning, we have the opportunity to receive those keys. Every single one of us can take those keys and run with it. Because you have power, you have authority, you have responsibility, and you have access. What else do you need? These keys have no bounds. They can unlock whatever. And the main thing Jesus wants to unlock is souls. It's not the pastor's job. It's all of our jobs. And so this morning, I mean, I don't know. You know, a lot of us know about these keys. But some of us probably haven't even taken them out of our pockets before. Or we went home and threw them in the safe. And just didn't do anything with them. That's not how the keys work in the kingdom. And so this morning, if you haven't received those keys, if you haven't taken full advantage of the power, the authority, the responsibility, and the access that you have been given, why not take that this morning? Because if we're going to go make a difference in this world, we need those keys. Because without them, we can't get into nowhere. So this morning, the altars are open. If you'd like to take hold of those keys, or just to come say, Jesus, I'm sorry that they've been sitting in my pocket or they're sitting in the drawer at the house. And so Jesus, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your power. We thank you for the power that you share with us through your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the honor and opportunity we get to be children of God and to be citizens of the kingdom and to have a set of keys. Remind us constantly that we have those. And that your ultimate goal for us is to open hearts and to get people to know you. And Jesus, we're just sorry for all the times we forget. Thank you for your word and your truth this morning. And we give you this time of worship. Amen.